boys watch too much television. You're gonna go to the library and pick out two books. And at the end of the week, you're gonna hand me a written report about what you read.
You cannot possibly survive it on television.
Well, you're gonna start now.
Which is just what a book club, Black Men Reading, in North Minneapolis has been doing. Almost as though they'd been inspired by this clip from a cable TV movie called Gifted Hands. For 10 years, they've been putting books into black and brown hands as one way to quash an image of black people as angry and aimless, if not worse. Black Men Reading, which includes women, is sponsored by the University of Minnesota and wants to remind black people to break a book's spine instead of just going online. When I met them, they began with introductions.
Hotep, everyone.
Hotep.
My name is Matthew. I think something good is just coming to this space. It was real encouraging.
I'm Renee McDavid, one of the females of the Men's African American Read-In. I love my book club family.
Hi, I'm Denise Mazzone, and one thing I love about the book club is it has brought back my critical thinking skills.
Black Men Reading, modeled on the book clubs of the Harlem Renaissance, wants to remind readers that they have a rich heritage to draw from, either by reading or writing from their lives or imaginations. Ezra Highland, a university employee, runs the group. It meets on Wednesdays at North Point Health and Wellness in North Minneapolis. The books and the discussions attract anywhere from 5 or 6 to at least twice as many readers. When I came by, Ezra was eager to hold court and give a multimedia lesson. He played a poetic video called Bluesology.
In this country, and the more I found out about our own history, the more I was disappointed about how little we had been informed of our history. So it made me want to put a poem together to explain what had been overlooked. And the poem was called Black History. It said, I was wondering about our yesterdays and started digging through the rubble. And to say the least, somebody went to a hell of a lot of trouble to make sure that when we looked things up, we wouldn't fare too well. And we would come up with totally unreliable portraits of ourselves.
After playing a whole lot more than that, Ezra started to break it down.
Think about what Gil Scott-Heron did in that little bit of time. When he talked about this idea of bluesology, he gave us a history of black music, of black literature, and he taught us, and we didn't even know we were being taught.
Consider what Reuben Carter, the Hurricane, had been taught and what some people think gangster rap encourages. He was the subject of a movie with Denzel Washington where a pro boxer, framed and locked up by a corrupt justice system, is vindicated.
So when I, the Hurricane, Dr. Carter reiterates the story where one day in prison he walks by the mirror and he sees this creature that he doesn't even recognize, so full of hate, and the steps he had to take to regain his humanity. And so much of the gangster rap, the commercial money comes in black people presenting themselves as animals and beasts. And so the rap on gangster rap is saying, look, how can we get away from that and get back to an authentic human voice?
And so Black Men and Women Reading teaches its members to examine that genre's poetry and decide how to deal with the poison that can hide behind the words.
And we try and read things many times in threes. And so the first book we read, dealing specifically with rap, and we've read short pieces, but the first book was John McWhorter's, I believe it's Hip-Hop, Why Hip-Hop Can't Save Black America. Then the second book we read was Alex Pate, who's here in Minneapolis. He has a piece, The Heart of the Beat, that really tries to come up with a criteria for critiquing this rap poetry. And then the last book we read was a book by Bakari Katwana, The Rap on Gangster Rap.
You might want to ask, how did Black Men Reading begin?
And we thought it was important that we deal with the issue of literacy, because we really believe that literacy is the root, is the foundation upon which one builds a life in this society. But it's not sexy. And so our biggest difficulty has often been selling it in the community. But the biggest thing, we've allowed a place for black people, black men, black women, black adults, to have the opportunity to discuss ideas and not just events, to talk about and learn about their culture.
Well, in American culture, some more literary-minded people probably think that the majority is beholden to a culture that reads books even less than in prior generations. Black Men Reading is doing its part to reverse that. This is Will Wright, KFAI.